Welcome along to the Wise Men Save podcast. We do hope people are still listening because we were just talking, but we always talk, don't we, about how many listeners we get. And generally when Sunderland aren't doing well...
Or we always talk about how many listeners we get.
Not when we're doing well in comparison to when we're not doing well, which is generally, well, we don't do very well, do we? Louise from Sunderland was mentioning about, I don't know if you were there, when she mentioned the figures after the derby and said they were really, really high, possibly the highest the Inter the Lights ever had. So I'm just thinking after the performance of the weekend, we'll be lucky if anybody tunes in. But we're going to try a Periscope thing later as well, which I know very little about, so excuse my ignorance, but we'll give you...
You only have had a taste of
I I'm learning as I go, aren't I?
But learning about reality.
Well, you need to let our listeners know that we're going to do it, though, so they'll think, like, what the hell are they doing
there? Just say later on, we'll be having some Periscope stuff.
Well, that's kind of what I said, to be honest.
Probably not a good idea to start revising what you should say after he said it on a recording.
No, because it's part of the humour.
This is just the way the podcast rolls. It's not like the end of the light where it's all polished and I'll have my little...
Polished a bit.
Polished, yeah, well.
Pushing it, I think.
It's probably more entertaining than talking about Saturday, to be fair.
Exactly. Right. Craig Clark, as you can probably hear, is in with us. And Andy Jaws. Jaws?
Andy
this,
Jaws.
This is a start, yeah.
Joe Dorenson.
Andy Dawson is in.
I would change my setting in by Deed Porter Jaws.
If you were a darts player, would you go with Jaws, Andy?
Yes.
Yes. Wasn't already a Jaws in darts?
In darts, I don't know.
That was Colin. James Bond, I think.
No, Colin. Colin
the
somebody.
Film Jaws.
Who? Colin somebody, was it?
Colin the Shark Jaws.
No, I'm telling you. I'm going to have a thing. I might Google it later on.
Yeah. Just do it now?
No.
We'll miss you.
Well... Like, you know what? We're like 2 minutes in and we're putting off talking about the football already. We're starting to find dudes every
week. One of the best podcasts we've ever done.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah. I don't know what any of you was thinking. Chip in as you please here. But I went away after the game on Saturday and it was probably the most gutted and disappointed I'd been in a long time. And I'm talking like maybe derby defeat disappointment. For the fact that we now appreciate and realise that we're going to have to set up like this under Allardyce against certain teams who were better than us, which Southampton were. We said how fast we were going to move the ball about, and they did. We were clearly standing off them in certain areas, and it was painful to watch as a fan, and I was so disappointed, because if you're going to go through all of that, you want to get a point out of it, and I could have just killed Yann Mvia for that. I don't care how good he is, and he's been great this season. That was just ridiculous. He might as well have just jumped and caught across into the box for me, given that penalty away, going to ground in the box there. Is it just me? Am I just losing sight of it?
The thing about a performance like that is you can accept it if you get a result.
Exactly.
And you can't when... I think that's just... It's just Sunderland's season. It's like you can't... You just can't legislate for the mistake sometimes. And, you know, we've seen systems expose players, but the system was specifically designed not to expose anybody on Saturday. And then... you could see it. It was like slow motion when he was running towards. It was like
he knew
exactly what he was going to do.
If it was a film, there would have been the slow motion bit of the fans going no, wouldn't it?
Well, it kind of. My brother-in-law sitting next to us went like
everybody next to me shouted, "Don't do it!" Yeah,
and it was like, I've not seen it back, and a few people were kind of saying he took a dive, and maybe he did.
He knocked the ball around him and then just got fouled.
But exactly,
because
he
could see it coming,
I know,
and he was looking the other way.
I mean, I was 120 yards away down the end of the ground, and the bloke next to me just went stonewall.
I was right back.
There's no doubt about it.
We were right back.
That makes it frustrating, though, doesn't it? Because Gareth touched on the point the other week saying that had Allardyce slowly starting to get points on the board, then this will be more acceptable. We're already like only 4 games in. Say, for example, I mean, it was an individual mistake / a referee error that cost us a deserved point at West Brom. On Saturday, an individual mistake as well cost us a point. That would be 8 points. You'd be level with Bournemouth, a couple behind Newcastle. Allardyce would have then drew 2-1-1, lost 1, and people would be a little bit on board, wouldn't they, saying that, you know, we understand what's happening here because he's putting points on the board, and makes it harder, doesn't it, when you're not getting anything.
I'm still trying to be positive about it, because at the end of the day we could have quite easily got a point out of that, you know, apart from Munvilla's, you know, horrendous error of judgment. You know, they weren't threatening us all that much, I didn't think. First 20 minutes, I thought they could have had two or three goals. And then we seemed to sort it out and suss it out a bit. But then, you know...
There was obviously a couple off the line as well in the second half. But I like you, it was just a mind-numbingly boring game. And again, like you say, that's fine if you come away with a point.
Yeah, I'm all in favour of that sort exactly. of thing. I don't want to be entertained, I just want points.
At the minute, though, it's true, if you win... You don't care how it comes.
And you could see early on exactly what the strategy was, because I think Steve Davis picked the ball up a lot and three players around him were standing off him, because clearly the tactic was, well, he's not going to do anything at this area of the field. And it was almost like a force field around him. He had that much room, but they were happy just to sit because he wasn't going anywhere with it.
No.
Some people clicked onto that straight away. A lot of the crowd didn't. And started screaming at him to close him down. People are going to have to sort of educate themselves a little bit. I don't want to sound like Gus Poyet here, but
well,
people are going to have to get used to it,
back,
if anything.
Go, it's weird, isn't it, how that's as close to a Poyet performance that you would say in terms of the way they set up. And, you know, people didn't like it. And the argument was, oh, we need to be doing better. We need to be, you know, more attacking or whatever. Well, we've had to bring somebody in, like another manager down the line after Gus, to try and go back to what Poyet was doing to try and get results. I think that tells you everything you need to know.
Like, well, the state of the squad,
the thing with Poyet is, you can argue he had the opportunity to work with Congdon to try and buy players to make the team better, and he didn't do that. So,
but then you could also say Congdon hasn't done his job properly either.
No, I'm just saying, that Poyet had the chance to move the team on with resources and he didn't, so he can be criticised in that respect. But you know, how many managers have come and set up defensively because that's all because they think, well, this is the only way this team can get points. And then you go to Everton. I mean, we were talking about this after the game, and then Chris Young did a bit in the Echo about it, saying how it's one or the other. It's
schizophrenia,
like,
you either sit in.
And then get beaten 1-0 after you've made a daft mistake, or you play open and you get absolutely smashed, you know, 4-2, 6-2. You know, we've seen it 6-3, we won that game at against Exeter.
Well, I'll tell you what, another thing that's interesting, I mean, you talk about, like, being sort of ripped apart, but and he's comments in the week saying about, like, I know who I can trust and who I can't. Well, it's interesting that he started Toivonen.
I know.
But Lenz has been nowhere near the team. Mm. Both
Larsson's
disappeared.
Having this exact conversation before we come in. And Larsson's the one.
That's a
I was just saying to Gareth, yeah, we all called Larsson to be an Allardyce sort of player straight away. Somebody who...
With
all,
reset piece ability, you've nothing
but
else.
Yeah, but previous managers count on. I guess, Andy, though, we were saying, he's at an age now, Larsson. He's about 30, isn't he?
Yeah.
Sometimes players can get to this age and their condition and their ability can suddenly deteriorate, and we don't see what's happening on the training ground.
And we're starting
because
to see Advocat, with Johnson, aren't we?
Advocat froze him out, and now Allardyce is freezing him out. Look at someone like Joe Cole, how quickly he's fallen from grace.
Yeah.
And I guess we don't all see in the training ground. Because it just seemed baffling, Andy, that Larsson would be nowhere near the team.
Larsson must be really not doing the business in training if he's out with the team and Toivonen's in, because I thought Toivonen was diabolical first half on Saturday.
I think it's two games in a row as well that he's played in and not performed
and
anywhere near an acceptable level.
If we're going to be hitting long balls to Fletcher to win in the air, I want to see Toivonen busting a gut to try and get in and around him. If and when Fletcher gets any knockdowns, and he was just nowhere near. I didn't even say Toivonen breaking into the joke.
It's quite funny, isn't it, that when you look at the squad, well, I don't know if funny's the right word, but you look
might
at
as
it,
well laugh.
And you see the players have got across the front in Fletcher, Defoe, Johnson, Toivonen,
Graham,
Lentz, Barini.
Got plenty of them.
Can't play any of them anywhere. Jack Rini's gone out on loan, somebody who actually did really well when he played as like a number 10 off the front man. He's gone. Like, you'd think he'd be the player if you want to put somebody like right up with the front man to win flick, like to get in on flick-ons and that, and just stick around up there. He'd be that sort of player. He's not here.
Well,
he's gone. I mean, I'm not saying that he was. I'm not saying Jack Rini is the answer or anything. It's just we've got all these players, and nobody can find a way to use him effectively.
Could Johnson not play behind?
Well, he's tried.
What, he would have, at half time. He would have been long gone for me. On Saturday, I thought he was atrocious.
Second half, he was the most likely to create something, which says quite a lot about the rest of them.
There was a brilliant bit in the second half where he nearly fell over and like ended up beating three players. That was the best thing he did all the game. He
the free kick was
the free kick was good, but you know, it's a dead ball, and I just think like
I'm not saying
it's been gruel, isn't it? Well, he did a good free kick.
He kicked the ball. He kicked the ball 30 yards near a goal.
I would say the best player on the pitch for us was Kabul, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And obviously, Fletcher, it makes a huge difference.
Honourable mention for Fletcher, I think, as well.
Which, I mean, we'll come on to substitutions. Mm. You know, I'd had Dick after Alan Clark's head, as we'll remember. No, but Allardyce there made even more bemusing substitutions, arguably, than any Advocat made. I don't understand why you'd end up with Defoe on the pitch without Fletcher when Fletcher, unless he was picking up a knock or something that we don't know about.
That could perhaps only be the reason.
Because you end up with a sort of front two of Watmore and Defoe. When you're hitting it long, what's the point?
He was going to make that substitution for ages, and then we conceded the goal, and then,
did it anyway.
I mean, you've got to ask, you know, could he have stopped that substitution and had another few minutes to have a think? It makes you think Fletcher might have been injured. Even so, why would you take Fletcher off and put?
It was a brave decision not to start with Defoe and Fletcher as well, Craig, wasn't it? I think because that was one of the positives you took from the Everton game and the Newcastle game, where you saw the way those two linked up. There's been this cry from the terraces for like what seems like forever for Watmore to start, and then in a time when probably most of the crowd wouldn't have started Watmore and they would have went with a Fletcher and Defoe thing.
I think a lot of them would have started him, but the problem is that's not the problem position. And frankly, I'm not criticising him, he's a kid, but he's a player to bring off the bench. He looks much more threatening and effective when he comes off the bench. Well after 5 or 10 minutes. Then Font or Yoshida, but both of them sort of found him out, and he wasn't the only one. He just didn't look like he knew where to be.
To be fair, he didn't have a lot to work with.
I'm not criticising or judging him. I just don't think he should be starting games yet when he looks so threatening off the bench. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a surprise element off the bench.
So Rooney certainly would have been a little bit surprised at that.
He was dreadful when he came.
No, he was, yeah.
He had the only shot on target, though. Mm. Again, I'm like you were saying, you're clutching at straws for anything positive. And does anyone want to talk about his signing in the summer? I mean, it's not looking particularly great so far.
He didn't start kicking on until December last time, and he's been out quite a while, really, hasn't he?
But they spent a lot of money
on him. They did spend a lot of money.
My overriding fear has been this season that we don't seem to have the personnel for whichever system we want to play. And it doesn't even matter which system we're trying to play. We just don't seem to have the right players to be able to knit together.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And create a team.
And it's interesting that Allardyce has come out after this game and he's saying he's almost sort of apologising for not changing it quickly. He's saying there's only so much information I can give these players. Yeah. I can't overload them with it. And it's got to come week by week by week. But what you hope for is that you pick up the odd point in those weeks as it's going along.
And he's sending it to their phones as well, isn't he? So hopefully it's not getting lost in among all the Snapchat and all that stuff.
All the banter.
See that? Apparently Patrick Bamford's been saying the 30-odd loaned out players from Chelsea have got a group WhatsApp. But the banter's flowing in that group chat. But it's just called...
Jesus Christ.
I don't know, like loan Bant or something.
Patrick Bantford.
that was better than Mike.
Maybe Allardyce needs to get it translated into Bant form before they'll be able to understand it a bit better.
Yeah, that's what he should do. Yeah.
Is Allardyce getting closer to talking about the deep underlying problem at the club yet? Well, I'm going to keep asking this every week because it's on the way, isn't it? It's coming.
You mentioned
it's imminent
about like Poyet, Gareth, and like how that was as close to a sort of Poyet setup. Well, it's like a microcosm of the end of Poyet's reign so far. Right, I've got these two strikers who were good. How do I get them in the team together? That hasn't worked, so I'll go back to playing Fletcher up front. Oh, no, he's isolated. And yet, like you've just said, Andy, you can't play a standard 4-4-2 because we haven't got the wingers for it. We'll try and play 4-3-3. It's not working. You can recycle and go through different number 10s, but it just looks like a bit hopeless, really, isn't it?
Too many square pegs and round holes.
It's just odd. I mean, the fact that they've got Rodwell on the bench, Defoe on the bench, Lentz on the bench, and Barini on the bench, who you're looking at, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money on the bench.
That's a sum of Sunderland's last five seasons up that long,
and
isn't it?
You know, you look at that and, you know, you, I mean, maybe Barini would have started if he was fit. Lentz is probably, would probably be our record signing if you total up, if he, you know, I'm sure if he triggers his release, well, sorry, triggers his clauses or whatever in his contract,
he's
probably
looking like he's going
to
do that.
13 to 15 million quid, and he would be Sunderland's record signing.
Is that what he's worth?
It goes up to 13, I think.
I think it goes up to 13.
That's the maximum that can rise to.
Is there an option to buy with Villa at the end of this season?
There is, I think, yeah. But he'll not come,
he's been, well, he's been dragged down to the level.
Well, no, I think, you know, Mvia was all right at the weekend. Mm. I think, you know, I missed Cattermole in there, especially when you know, we're in that type of game. I mean, Gomez didn't really impact the game, did he? And he's the one you're thinking, well, let's get him on the ball. Toivonen, yeah, he's kind of like scapegoat of the month now. It, like, PVA's like managed to get him, wriggle himself away, and now Toivonen's, you know, overtaking that
There's
crown.
There's a reason for these things, though.
There is, but let's remember, he's somebody, again, who... He, against Newcastle, he was coming back from an injury, and against...
Well, he's put him back in a game. That's a surprising thing,
it is surprising. I mean, when it's going back to that comment about him saying he's going to play, he kind of knows which players he wants to use. Toivonen's been straight in on both occasions now. Is that because of the physicality?
Well, yeah, he got told by West Ham fans pretty
early. Let's be fair, we praised him early doors and you were quite excited.
But yes, I was.
I think there was logic to it. It wasn't about him as a player. It was, and when you go back to square pegs and round holes or whatever, he was a player where they thought, well, we'll put him at the top of the midfield, and he did move us up the pitch.
Yeah. Well, that's it. He does fit the bill for where he's playing, for what we're looking for, but he just hasn't delivered for the last...
No.
Is that down to his physical condition, though, perhaps? I'm thinking, because, I mean, I'm not just defending myself here, because I was sort of waxing lyrical about him after that Villa game, but he doesn't look fit. And on the other hand, we were told by West Ham fans pretty soon after Allardyce arrived that when he looks at his central midfielders, he looks for big, strong lads.
Yeah.
And until he can sign some, he's gonna try and do that, which would imply Toivonen's going to play for the foreseeable, whether we like it or not.
Rodwell not in then, because I would have thought Rodwell's pretty much in that category as well.
In theory, isn't he? But he doesn't put himself about, because one thing you would say about Toivonen, I know. I just thought there was a spell in the first half where Toivonen started winning a lot of second balls in the air and headers, and I thought this is why he's in the team.
Mm. I think the point Andy made earlier about, you know, it's all very well Fletcher winning the flick-ons, but there's nobody around him, and it happened in the first half against Newcastle as well. They were winning every header, him and Toivonen winning every ball in the air, but there's nobody picking up the second ball. I think Fletcher's been, you know, the last 6 weeks is, I mean, what an improvement. I mean, he almost looks better than he did when he first signed in terms of his general play, because when he first came, he had about six shots and scored six goals, didn't he? Yeah.
The system we're playing, you can't fault him, because he's doing exactly what you want him to do. But second half again, when Barini came on, Toivonen went off, Barini was seemed to be 20 metres away from where Fletcher was winning the headers. So,
I mean, it's the issue, you know, retaining the ball, you know, just sometimes you just think, just calm down.
I think we had something like 35% possession.
I mean, you just need to calm down sometimes and hold it.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the problems there is that Johnson is really bad in his own, when he's near his own box. When he receives a ball in the corner, so once he's like tracked back, well, token gesture, run into a space where it makes it look like he's tracking back, which he does a lot of if you watch him.
Johnson.
It's absolutely disgusting. Like, there's some of... He jogs to an area near the box that's about 10 yards from the fullback and watches the game. He does. Like, if you want, it's terrible. He does it every time. And it looks like he's tracking back, but he's not. He's just jogging, for whatever reason that is. But when he gets the ball in the corner when we're defending, he ends up with his back to the play, and then he's trying to, like, turn out to give the ball to somebody else. We end up giving the ball away. We've given goals away like that before, I remember... Bradford in the cup he gave it away in that area, and the concede. You know, if you can't get out, you got a problem. So it's just a lack of composure. Why there's a lack of composure? Are they being told to just, you know, clear the lines? Is it just, you know, panic?
Johnson's almost like Watmore for me. He's someone that should be coming on with 20 minutes to go and trying to change the tempo of the game and trying to kick us on towards the end. Because if you start and you're trying to start strong, and you're trying to hold what you've got for the first 60-70 minutes, which looks like what we're going to try and do, he doesn't fit into that.
The problem is, like you've already said, I think, who does, in a sense. And those are Barini, he's and got you, the work rate.
And you do need some creativity in there, and there's not many who has it.
We've never, ever solved that creativity thing.
Like, well, we thought Lentz might be the one, he does create
chances, but my issue with him, which has come up a few times, obviously amongst others, is it's not just his work rate going backwards, it's his general attitude off the ball. He doesn't really move very well off it, he doesn't really create space. And then there is moments where he just looks like it's just disgusting. Like, off, you know, he's off the pitch, just standing there, strolling back. You know, the game's back in play. It's like, you can't get away with that in this league.
He's an awful tackler as well when he does get involved.
Yeah. I mean, he does get it in before the game. He got sent off in the West Ham game. I think we've been sat next to each other before, and I've said, like, to you, like, oh, he'll get himself sent off.
Yeah,
like he gets booked, like he always gets stupid bookings because he wants to, you know, dive in, like it's overzealous. And then, you know, we saw it against West Ham, and the frustrating thing about that is he was looking quite good, and like he got himself sent off, dropped for the West, well, not couldn't play in the West Brom game. Comes back in the derby.
I tell you what, it is glam, isn't it? It's lame. It is pathetic.
So two weeks on from the derby win, and so far today we've said nothing positive whatsoever.
Why change your habit of a lifetime?
We'll try those listening figures sort through the roof.
We'll try and say more positive stuff, though. I can't guarantee it when we come back. Right, we said that when we come back, we were going to try and be more positive. So, being positive, Southampton were a bloody good team, weren't they? Do you like that scene of Mike Bassett, England manager, when they're saying, when he's saying, what was his assistant called again? Dodgy. And they've just been stuffed off Mexico. And he's like, say something positive. And he's like, well, a positive thing, that Gonzalez is a bloody good player, isn't he? And he started to start giving three cheese for Gonzalez. That's what you feel like.
When he's saying that he's a cracking player, that's flair of the last guy.
I'll tell you what, Van Dijk, I mean...
I was just going to say, Van Dijk...
Fantastic, wasn't he?
We were linked with him for however long it was. Don't you just know that if we signed him, he would have been atrocious. He would have been awful. And then he goes there... That is banter, isn't it, though?
I thought that was the very definition of football banter there. He was just, like, strolling around, doing his thing. And he was just
would I sign for these?
No, I don't
think so.
One
of his mates afterwards, won't he? I nearly signed for these, lol.
On his group chat.
He was probably in a group chat with Lentz and, like, a couple of the other, like, Dutch lads. Like, Jordy Classy. Him and Jordy Classy are just, like, lolling.
Look, those crying, smiley faces, loads of them.
Yeah.
In the group, there would be.
Aye. We've moved on from lols and lamows, haven't we?
Yeah, and it would crying, we've now got crying, things. Some crying, laughing things.
I think we're getting under the Sunderland players again, Gareth. We've made the point about Quatez before, how he kind of looks all right when he has Kabul or Shea to hold his hand. I think that was a bit evident as well. That they look quite comfortable. Well, I know Southampton did get in a couple of times.
I don't know what you... Periscope, now I don't know what you guys thought of Quatez. Look at that, embracing hashtag social media.
You've got to remember, someone's going to listen to this back in pure audio form, people are asking some stuff on the Periscope.
Across the boundaries. But here's a question.
Obviously, people on Periscope don't know what we've been talking about yet on the recorded thing, but someone's saying, it's Mikey Scott, Jeremy and Lenz out of favour or unfit?
Unfit. Well, I mean, we didn't discuss whether he's unfit. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I think so.
Allardyce looking for a reaction from Lentz, I think.
Let's be honest.
Disappointment, probably. That's a reaction.
Whatever we're thinking about him, his performance in the derby was pretty disgraceful, wasn't it? And he's not done enough to say, you know, you've got to start me. I don't think.
Could he play in that 10 if you're gonna? Because we're saying now that. See, the thing that annoyed us about Johnson in that when he got moved inside, because I thought you don't deserve to get played there. Like when he was playing wide, I thought it was so awful, and then he got moved inside, and it was like, it's not on, because I just like playing a number 10 is like the complete complement of a footballer. I think it's like you're going, you can go in there and you can just do whatever you want because he's so good. You're going to create something, and like he got moved in there after a disgusting first half performance and continued it on. And like it really irritated us. I thought you don't deserve to play as a number 10. The amount of times he gave the ball away.
You know what I'm getting worried about? It's sort of giving me flashbacks.
Well, I've got a list.
No, but it's giving me flashbacks to the sort of the Howard Wilkinson era when he came. No, but you know when he came and Peter Reid, we had this attacking free-flowing team, then we finished off fourth bottom, but it was the same players more or less, and it just wasn't quite working. And he came and he moved people about. Mickey Gray went back onto the wing. Kilbane played centre midfield. Yeah. He played Proctor on the right for a bit. Right wing back, which he still sort of scratches his head about now.
Well.
And it's I'm not saying it's going to be like that, because Allardyce, you know, has got the track record for it. I'm not suddenly starting to say I'm not on side with that. But it just reminds me of that, where you're searching for something all the time, and yet you keep, the longer it goes on without a win, confidence just goes down. Mistakes are going to keep happening.
That was exactly what happened with us, because we had that season where we finished, was it 17th?
Yes.
Before we were relegated. We were in that tailspin of sub-mediocrity, and we're there now, but we've been there for 4 or 5 years now.
Good,
how did we get out of it?
Good, isn't it?
So someone's asking, it's like change of tack from the Wilco stuff. But,
there should be a Wilkinson era emoji, shouldn't there? Like,
just an image of...
I don't know what it would be.
There's an old photo of a stadium of light, which I was ruined because he was a manager at the time, and it's got his signature on, and it's like, I don't even know where that is now. I would have kept it if it was any other manager but him.
Okay, well, here's a question. Can anyone see Stephen Fletcher being sold in January to fund any transfers? Obviously, his contract's up.
I mean, that would be a very Sunderland thing to do, wouldn't it?
You would
a player
sell
comes
him,
into
yeah.
form and then you sell him.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out if Allardyce had somebody in mind to bring in another person.
I mean, he's available now, isn't he?
At least by Swansea today.
He's where you can get a free.
Us, damaged goods.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we're hoping, we get the best out of him. Mm. He'll play in that number 10.
The spin will be like, we'll just talk about that great season he had 3 years ago.
Well, he scored a lot of goals in his second season as well, and then he got injured. He started well, then got injured, and then he's never quite recovered, does he? Which is a real shame, because he was class, wasn't he?
Who, Fletcher?
No, Michu.
Yeah. Well, Fletcher was as well, before he got injured, ironically.
But, I mean, he would be a good player for that for that role. But
well, it's someone else is asking.
But there's a reason he's not playing at Swansea. Yeah, like what we were saying about Larson there, there's a reason why
he's
different managers... There's a reason why different managers are coming to Swansea.
It might be a bit complicated, that I think it's not different managers are coming, it's just one. It's just Monk came in after Laudrup. So,
getting back to Fletcher though, if you were to sell him in January, how much would you realistically get for him?
That's the problem. Exactly. A couple of million.
It's not worth.
That would, if they do the whole player amortisation, is that the word?
If
you sign a player for 12 million quid over 4 years, he's worth 3 million quid a year, so he depreciates 3 million pounds. So I guess if you got 3 million pounds back from in January, technically you would have made 1.5 million.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but
on the deal. The fact is, he hasn't produced, has he, for a long time? But now he looks great.
About him being one of our most effective players. At the moment.
And the question is, if you do sell him, someone saying he thinks that we need to strengthen midfield. Well, I think we've got a lot of midfielders. We've got a lot of forwards. Personally, I would say it's the defence.
Entire team.
Well, there is that.
It always happens, isn't it?
When we get a transfer new players, and we'll be all right.
That's what we keep trying to do, don't we? That's the problem.
It's the spine of a team. Managers historically like to put their own spine of a team in, and Allardyce would certainly strike me as one of those.
Have you de-periscoped?
He's
the periscope.
It's just too much.
Too much.
Hard to focus on the chat and do that.
Too much.
And also, I felt like we're shoving the questions in. This is a very experimental podcast.
Well,
then they should find out what Periscope is from this podcast.
And follow us on Wise Men.
I feel like I'm doing an advert for Periscope. Periscope would like to give me some free Periscope.
I don't think the question sounded that bad there, Craig.
No, they didn't.
But Allardyce would say, wouldn't he? You would say the spine of a side. He clearly has contacts regarding the transfer market, because wherever he's been, I don't want to say he's a wheeler and dealer, because you saw the way Redknapp kicked off when he got accused of being a wheeler and dealer.
He's not here, so you can say what you want.
I know. Well, he might listen, and tweet.
Listen. Who?
Harry Redknapp.
Yeah, we should start atting him, shouldn't we? Atting him and things. At Big Sam.
Listen to our podcast. We mentioned and then
we mentioned.
Include him in,
Want to hear what we said about at Big Sam Official? That is a Twitter thing. I wonder if he's on Periscope in the house, just him, like
him
in
a jug of gravy,
just neck and mashed potatoes.
What was the point?
I'm just saying about improving the spider's side, because it's good. Gareth was making the point again before we come on, you need to be in touch. It's all right saying we're going to have 20 million quid to spend. I was reading
we're not.
See, that's true. That's all right. You need to be within touching distance, don't you? And it's all well. I mean, you're looking at the minute, and Villa are struggling equally, and Bournemouth look like they're going to start struggling equally.
Well, they already
are. But you still need another side to overtake, don't you? Because the three of us could just end up cut adrift, and that's not good to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's incredible, so, isn't it?
Yeah, it is fascinating what's going on there, mind. But
just goes to show you, doesn't it? Though that you can have all the quality players in the world, and
but they imagine will
the
be fine.
Flying around about that in their group.
Well, that's
loan players.
Bansford will be. He's a job. They're flying.
I know. He's not kicking the ball, is he?
Yeah, he doesn't even have to play.
The Chelsea podcast won't know how to react to this.
No.
If they want to do some research, just listen to ours every week. We can tell you how to discuss losing games, analyse.
Why?
For 45 minutes, twice a week.
What you find is you get a lot of that, what they call gallows humour, don't you? When you lose, you've got nowhere else to laugh at.
Yeah.
I don't think Chelsea fans strike me as a sort of would buy into that sort of thing.
No, maybe not.
That's what they say about podcasts, though, isn't it? You've got to judge them on how they do when they're losing rather than when they're winning.
Back to those listening figures. This one's definitely gone down an experimental
route. I think you
route.
Judge it on how many people view a Periscope the first time you do it. In 98 we got, so I think that's pretty good. I think that means we're probably the best podcast in the world. Don't quote me on that. I'm just saying, I haven't got the figures in front of us, but that's what I think anyway.
But it's the start of November and we're 5 points behind Chelsea, so you would have took that in August.
Absolutely.
Reaching for positives here.
Can we talk about Quatters?
You're a big fan, are you?
So, I saw some people actually say that they thought he had a good game.
I think he cleared one off the line.
If you're a centre-back and you ball watch all the time, is that a good thing to have a centre-back do? Like, if you are a professional, if you played centre-back and that's one of the things you do, like, surely that's, like, number one.
It sounds like a loaded question, like you already have an opinion about this.
So I was like,
see how these rhetoric questions are. What's happening?
Like, it's incredible. Like the amount, the ball comes into the box, and he doesn't react. He like watches, like he looks behind him, and there's like a striker like through on goal, and he's like, oh, like, did you not think like that's like football 101?
The other
players on the other team are trying to do goals.
That's just ability.
Stop them.
It's ability levels, though, isn't it?
My other favourite thing he does is the speed of the game.
It's part of the ball in the box.
It's not even about a ball comes into the box. Put your head where the ball is. Don't let it drop.
What about his slow-mo diving? I like that. Sometimes he connects and he wins the ball, but other times he like wipes the player out or just misses everything. But it like seems to take. He comes charging through. This should be on the Periscope.
Yeah.
And, like sort of like two. I can't really explain what it is, but crap.
It's not very good.
Yeah.
Something that somebody does.
I don't know about you, but I think he looks like a lower level defender. Like, he belongs
fourth,
in the championship.
He's fourth choice centre back. That's what he is.
He had half a dozen decent games at the end of last season, including a blinder at Arsenal. And we've bought him solely on that small run of form.
Would anyone hear you say that Virginie is a worse footballer than him? Because I'm not having it.
It's two bald men fighting over a comb, though, isn't it?
Well, we could get on Periscope.
Be like that celebrity death match, remember that? Yeah. The plasticine thing.
Harry, if there is a new social media thing where you can, like Tinder, but for fighting. Have you seen that?
Rumbler.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how legit it is. I think it might be someone having a bit of a giggle, but
it's a good laugh though.
It's a bit Nathan Barley, isn't it?
I don't think it's appeared in the App Store just yet.
I hope so.
But
we'll
be campaigning for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could get like other
podcasts fight them up.
The thing is, what's interesting is this is the, you know, I don't think we've ever spent as many minutes in a podcast sort of not talking about the game.
There's nothing to say, is
but, no, but this, what I'm about to say, is that reflective of, like, is that reflective of the mood, perhaps,
is,
on the terrace? Because I know that people have been saying, you know, they've been turning off for a while and stuff, but as...
turning the podcast off.
But,
listen, he's getting text messages. I can't listen anymore, Steven. It's too
hard. It's a Periscope thing, isn't it?
It's too hard.
They're just tuning in to tell us that they're turning off.
I'm looking at your mentions on Twitter at the minute, and there's nothing like.
I'll be the judge of that.
There's no response to the Periscope thing at all.
But I mean,
it's not going down well.
But what we're saying is, look, if we could just finish the last 5 minutes. No, Allardyce is going to do this, and we know he is. He's going to set up like this. against sides that are better than us, and that's the league, let's be fair.
And leagues below.
And one thing that was evident when Martin O'Neill was manager was attendances dropped towards the end, below 40,000. I remember I was surprised the other day when I looked at that midweek game when we beat Norwich and we played well 3-0, and there was something like 36,000 there.
And then you go back to the McCarthy days when, you know, got relegated. There was 40-odd thousand last game against Arsenal, and then turned up start of this next season about 22,000-23,000 there.
And that's where the football does come into it, isn't it? Because under Poyet, I always felt some people kind of believed in him, and that we just felt that we were just short. Next week, we'll get it right. We'll start being consistent. I always felt that with Poyet, where now people might be looking. Everything's getting tried. Individual mistakes are costing us games, and that those are the hallmarks of a side that get relegated historically.
I mean, the sad thing about it, I mean, one of the many sad things about it is you look at Poyet, he was probably the closest we've got to putting in that foundation for this new system. So a manager who had a plan and idea, and he wanted to come in and he wanted to do this, and the idea was that he'd move on, and then eventually he would get somebody else who could just pick up where he left. But the problem is, because we've always been, you know, firefighting, the person who comes in has got to do a job to get us away from the relegation zone, which negates the whole thing, which then negates Congerton, because he no longer becomes a person who's the one who, you know, keeps that continuity going, the one running in the background, because every managerial appointment contradicts the whole point of having the system. So apart from Poyet, which is, it's just...
But there wasn't even any kind of continuity between Congerton and Poyet, because Poyet arrived with his style of play that he knew and that he wanted to do. Congerton had whatever ideas he had.
Ones that involved Jack Rodwell, apparently, which nothing to do with Poyet's style of play, was it?
So Congerton brought some players in. Obviously, Poyet recruited the lads from Brighton. So there was no continuity there. We haven't got any now. We've got a manager who, kind of like Poyet, has arrived with an identity and a sort of football that we know what he's going to play, but it's just not as appealing as what we thought Poyet might bring.
Well, he's going to set up in ways to try and get results. That's what he's doing.
That's all I want. I don't care how we do it. I don't care what it looks like. I just want to see points on the board.
But then you've got to get the points, and then
that's the issue, isn't it?
And then you look at West Brom and you look at the Southampton game.
We should be sitting on 8 points.
Yeah, we should really have 2 points out of those games, and we didn't get them because of mistakes.
That is a worry, though, because that becomes more and more of a problem.
That's the main point in all this.
It smashes your confidence.
Of course it does.
And like you say, you're scrabbling
around trying to beat. It's
concentration.
Individual mistakes is just concentration.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one of those 11 players to let the concentration slip, and then you're in trouble. And that's where we are as a side, almost. And Tim Sherwood was saying it before he got sacked at Villa. And you could almost relate to what he's saying, being a Sunderland fan, because he came out after the loss to Swansea. He came out and he said, unless all of our players are playing at maximum, we lose the game. And that's where we are at the minute as a side as well.
I think as well, before Allardyce come in, like I think like a couple of people said, maybe you, Gareth, that we had the quality there. And I've always questioned that, and I continue.
I do think there's enough in the forward areas to... That my point is, it's going to take time to get that balance, and there is enough quality, I think, when in that front. You could select a couple of players from that front six players that we've got to get you a result in certain games, because eventually one of them will do something positive. We've seen Lentz, he's been in and out, but he's scored a couple of goals, he's created a couple of goals.
Yeah.
Johnson scored, Defoe scored, Fletcher scored.
Yeah.
There is something there. It's finding that balance because there's no link. It's like you either defend for your life and your forwards isolated, or you go all out and get, you know, leave yourself exposed. So he's got to find that balance. He's got to find a way to link that defensive play with an outlet.
It's not like previous seasons where we've been trying to desperately get a goal from wherever we could, and we've had the likes of Josie Altidore running around like a headless chicken. You know, we've scored a lot of goals this season. Yeah. By our standards, anyway.
Yeah, I think it was 13, I think.
You could have just looked at the lineup on day one and gone, there's nothing there defensively.
Yeah, there's not enough.
I mean,
I think before the season, I was screaming about the fact that, you know, not only were we signing Quatters, which I thought was a mistake, but Brown was the fourth choice defender in a role where it looked like they didn't expect him to play. Now, we've seen him come in, he's a rusty larder. You know, it's just it's.
And also, you look where you look at Brown as well, and then you know, if you look at Larson, someone who signed a 3-year contract in the summer, and he's can't get on the bench.
Well, I'd have signed the contract.
Well,
I know, but I'm just saying why if we're saying that Advocaat wasn't somebody who was interested in using Larson for whatever reason,
didn't
why
he sign the contract when Advocaat's future was up in the air though? So Congdon's probably
this is the
done,
problem. The whole bloody club's Congdon's future's up in the air that constantly, isn't it? Mm. It's just a mess. Like three right backs on the books, one left back who's no good at the minute. Whether he comes good again or not, it's not a team. If you're low on confidence and bang out of form, you don't get thrown into a team like this to get yourself some form back, do you? Because you're just gonna keep getting every team who comes up against Sunderland sees Patrick Van Arnold on the pitch and just target him every single time. So we've got Jones to play there, who's been okay, but
I mean he's
Jones, not a left back. Is
Jones
he?
is solid. And that's probably what we need at the moment. You know, it's going to be unspectacular, but he's going to sit there. You know, Revier was an option in there, and he did all right playing left back. He was a bit better than Jones, I think, at left back. But you know, there's another we could have signed him, but then it would have been signing another full back. You know, you'd have to question whether or not someone like Adam Matthews was the right player at the right time. I mean, he's, you know, yeah, he got injured, but he didn't exactly. You know,
comes to something when you take Phil Bardsley back in a heartbeat, doesn't it?
Oh, I don't know, I wouldn't go as far as that.
I was just thinking, it's funny you mentioned Bardsley, because I was just thinking, you know, since there's not a lot to say about Saturday, I remember a time when Bardsley was playing left back and we were all like talking about the balance of the team. Well, yeah, but I didn't really like it because he was coming in on his right foot and all that. And yet, we've not progressed one bit from that.
No.
And in fact, we're worse. Like, whether he's better or not as an individual is kind of besides the point. We've just gone backwards completely to the point where Phil Bardsley at left-back in this team wouldn't be the main problem. Whereas at one time, whether he brought balance to the side was the main issue because, all right, we're in relegation battles, but it wasn't this bad, was it?
The only thing we've done in terms of left-back was get Alonso on loan for a few months, and that was decent.
But then Danny Lowe's for a while.
He had a spell, I mean. He had a negative spell in his time at Sunderland.
His first month he struggled a bit after his first couple of games. Right,
he had a good start, and then he came back. But
relatively
that's what's going to happen
in terms of what we've had.
That's what's going to happen.
We haven't been blessed with left backs.
That's what's going to happen.
Loaning them in.
We're going to end up in a situation with a load of players who are good for three or four games and then bad for three or four games because we're Sunderland, and that's the plan of players we're going to track now. The challenge is in January is to get somebody who decent players who can perform consistently and deliver what Allardyce wants, and that's why it's vitally important that we're in touch at Christmas. Because if we're in the bottom three at Christmas, that doesn't bother us. We've been bottom of the league at Christmas twice, I think, haven't we? And managed to get out of it something ridiculous like that.
You need to be in touch.
You need to be in touch. It doesn't matter. I mean, I think when we've been bottom, I don't think we've been as far as 6 points adrift, even when we've been bottom at Christmas.
And who's going to sell you good players in January?
Well, he's going to have to go abroad, isn't he? He's going to have to be clever. He's going to have to use his contacts.
But he does. That's one thing that does make you feel a little bit positive, though. He's got a track record in the foreign transfer market, I think, Allardyce.
I don't know what his relationship with Diarmé was like at West Ham. I don't know if they fell out when he left, but Diarmé, I'd imagine he would be someone where he might think I might be able to get him in off Hull, someone like that.
Depends. Hull are flying high. They might command quite a
Premier League. Hull, the Premier League,
but they're not under pressure to sell. No. They're pushing for promotion.
I think Hull are going to be all right.
Do you know what's starting to build up momentum? When you look at, so Hull went down with certain players and they've still got them. If Sunderland go down,
we don't want to keep them.
I know, but the players we've got, you know, in the Championship, would probably win the league at the Cantona, then we'd get up.
I don't know about that.
Me neither.
Do you not think so? I think they probably would.
I think it's an attitude thing right through the club.
Deep lying problem. That's it. We're going out really, on the deep lying problem that everybody
that's
just a new position.
Is anyone still listening? That's a question.
It's a new position, like a deep lying midfielder or deep lying striker. Yeah. We've just got like deep lying
deep
problems.
We should definitely do a sweepstake on when Allardyce is going to come out and say that like every manager before him. So maybe that's something we'll look into. For more positive, uplifting podcasting, join us on Thursday when we'll be back for Into the Light.
To mention the Acast.
Go on then. You'll do that quickly.
Yeah, you'll notice we're changing podcast. Feeds, so that will be this
not
one will
content,
be gone in a couple of weeks. This will be gone in a couple of weeks. There will be adverts on it. Sorry, if you go to wisemensay.co.uk, there's a pinned article at the top of the page that gives you all of the links to all the new feed and everything. But yeah, that'll be happening in the next few weeks. So keep an eye out for that.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Over and out.